Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Sunday, November the 14th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, Denmark. That country that I talk about a lot, or at least mention the name of a lot. Well, it's not all happy sailing. I'm going to be talking about an op-ed in today's New York Times, no less. But I'll also be talking about other things. Stay tuned for all of that next. Welcome back, dear listener. Thank you very much. On this Sunday, November 14th, we are almost exactly at the halfway point of November. Tomorrow, Monday, November 15th, will be exactly the end of Monday. Will really, let's be more precise, the end of Monday, November 15th, will be the exact halfway point of the month of November, which means that we will have exactly 6 weeks left of 2021. And I'm going to do an episode on this in the near future. What kind of year has it been for you? What kind of year have you looked at as of 2021 as? I kind of teased this last week or the week before when I was asking you what kind of year has it been for you so far. But I'm going to get into that a bit more as we get closer to the end of this calendar year. Wow, it's gone by fast, hasn't it? Just sitting here, you know, my goodness me, back in January doing the second episode of the calendar year going, well, you know, are you the same on social media as you are off it? That was, I remember that episode. It was a Saturday. Saturday, January the 2nd, 2021. I remember that episode. I was sitting right here with this microphone and I was saying all these things about, are you the same person? And, you know, bottom line is I said, I am pretty much the same person offline that I am on. And I obviously am more respectful offline. You know, it's like this kind of thing is the raging bull thing from the movie of Martin Scorsese. Back in 1980, you know, there's a line in there that Robert De Niro, he plays the boxing champion Jake LaMotta. And I think he looks into a mirror when he says this. I have not seen Raging Bull since 1980. So you have to understand, it's been over 40 years. And my memory, as we all, if we're fortunate enough to get older in this life that we live, my memory and yours fade a little bit, you know. Sorry to break that to you if it hasn't happened yet, but you get to a certain age and you don't, your memory is not quick to recall things that you recalled, say, 10, 20, even 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, that's just the fact. That's what aging does. And, you know, it's one of those things that hopefully all of us will go through. Because meaning, hopefully, in the sense that we are old enough to get to that point, not hopefully because it's some kind of serious health condition where we really are thinking about some of the worst things that I don't even want to discuss, but you can think of and imagine in your mind. But in that film in 1980, Raging Bull, the Jake LaMotta character played by Robert De Niro looked into the mirror and goes, give me a stage so this bull can rage. And social media is that, isn't it? I mean, we do let something out. We become exhibitionists. And I think human beings in general, we are all exhibitionists to a degree. Some of us are introverted exhibitionists and some of us are extroverted exhibitionists. I mean, don't you think so? Or am I just barking up the wrong kind of tree altogether? Just a thought. But I'm going to just say a couple things quickly here before getting to Denmark. The first thing I'm going to say is, could you please get vaccinated? Could you please get vaccinated, dear listener? I hope you have done so. And I hope that when it is your turn, wherever you are on the planet, to get your booster, your rooster booster shot. That's a reference to an old English commercial. I don't know if anybody is listening from the UK, and I know some people do. There was a commercial in the 70s and in the 80s in England called Paxo, P-A-X-O. That was a brand of I believe it was chicken stock or kind of like oxo, like the gravy for chicken. And there was actually there's a commercial, well, you can look this up on YouTube, it's probably there somewhere. And the theme of the commercial, the jingle was Paxo the Rooster Booster. And so I just kind of flashed back to 1970s slash 19 early 1980s when I evoked that. Whether you get, hopefully you do have your two vaccination shots by now. And when it is your turn to get the Rooster Booster shot, make sure you get it, please. Please, please, pretty please, with sugar on top. And a couple of cheesecake slices on top, and an ice cream sundae on top, and a cherry on top, and chocolate sprinkles on there on top, and what else? And Bailey's, and Bailey's. You know what that? Remember that Bailey's. Damn, I forgot the name. I see my memory. Remember that? And a shot of Bailey's with, what is that? That cocoa liqueur thing. Remember that? It's got to be still on. It's still got to be available. I might actually have some of that, not while I'm doing this podcast. I haven't had that in years. I mean, I'm somebody who does not drink very often. I used to drink a bit more. In fact, then I have situations where I would go years without a drink. I'd just say, okay, I just don't want to drink anything. And I won't drink, wouldn't drink alcohol for, say, 2, 3 years straight. And then just the strange things that I do. And then there'll be times where then I'll have a drink to be sociable. And then, or then there'll be a, congratulations drink. You did something that was really good. You have a drink. Now, that's not something I would do on a daily basis. Some people do drink daily. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not passing judgment one or the other. But the bottom line is that I have not had any of that Bailey's in a long time. I'm going to talk about this thing. I got to talk about this in a minute. Dear listener, thank you so much indeed for being part of this daily podcast. Your ear is the key, and your ear is clear that you want to hear yours truly. And this podcast, I do thank you so very much. I have to say that there is going to be a book giveaway. Some of that rhymes. Some of the last 30 seconds of vocals from yours truly actually have a rhythmic quality to them. It's not all calculated. It's completely by accident. Because this thing is unscripted, that I thank you for not being hesitant to listen to this podcast. Believe me, I do appreciate it. I could understand people would have probably had enough of me by now, doing this every day for nearly 2 years straight. I mean, God, I'm surprised you haven't thrown me out of your... Have you, surprised you haven't thrown me out. Your blooming phones and your laptops, or however you listen to this podcast. But again, it's a tribute to you, because you are the one, dear listener, who can turn this off right now. I mean, maybe you have in the past. I don't know, but I am very grateful to you and truly appreciative of all the kind things that have been said. And listen, you don't have to say anything. I've told you, I'm not someone who's looking for praise. Of course, praise is a very nice thing. I think we all love it and we all like it, but it's certainly not something that I'm looking for from anybody. I don't do this for to be praised or anything. The ultimate for me is that people listen to it. It doesn't matter how many, that at least one person does. And the fact that you continue to do so means that maybe I am doing something a little bit right here. And you are too, more importantly, because, you subscribe, you listen, and you keep listening. And so I thank you, and I hope that you're well. I mean, more importantly than any of the other last minute and a half of what I've said is that you're well. I hope you're well. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're in a good place, or in a better place than you were, say, last week or last month or last year. I hope that 2021 has been a little bit better for you. And if it hasn't been, if it's been worse for you or the same for you, I am sorry that that has happened. And I'm sorry that that's the situation that you are presently in. I would say, and perhaps this is cavalier to say it, I don't believe you'll be in this place of rough patches and rough seas forever. I don't think you will be. You know, I think that you are going to be able to find a way to navigate out of the difficult situations and circumstances that you may find yourself in, dear listener. And I hope that that comes soon. I am thinking of you and hoping that you are able to find your way out of things with the right support network, with your belief in yourself and with others' belief in you, and with a sense that tough times do not last, but tough people do. So here we are on this Sunday, dear listener, and I am going to be talking about Denmark today. And, you know, for a country that I mentioned quite a bit here, and until a few days ago, I had not actually mentioned Denmark in a good few weeks and months. But for a country like Denmark, which I do, certainly earlier in this podcast's existence, mentioned quite a lot, including doing at least one or two episodes on Denmark last year, 2020. I am going to talk about that country, a little bit more today, but simply, really, quite frankly, because I stumbled across a New York Times op-ed. And again, I don't read the New York Times a whole heck of a lot these days. I haven't for a long time. I've always felt that I have felt over the last 20 years, the reputation of the New York Times has steadily been tanking. Doesn't mean that it should never, ever be read by anyone. I'm not saying what people should and should not read. That is your choice, their choice, whomever's choice. All I am saying is that I do think the quality, despite there being some good folks who write good things and important investigations done at the New York Times, we know all of them, we've heard of them. There's also been some people who, you know, haven't been on top of the mark. And there's also been choices editorially in the editor's desk, editors-in-chief, and all the rest of it at the Times that's been a downright disaster. New York Times has been a downright disaster in a number of areas over the last 20, 25 years. You look at Wen Ho Lee, the whole thing about the Wen Ho Lee, accusing this U.S. scientist of spying for China and all kinds of other nonsense that was completely untrue. It caused the family and caused Mr. Lee such pain. I mean, it caused him such grief and pain and his family, and that was just awful. The whole Jason Blair situation, the plagiarizing, just an absolute disgrace. The whole Judith Miller situation, just drum beating war for George W. Bush and all the nonsense there that happened. And, you know, he had almost a million Iraqis dead, or, you know, 300,000 Iraqis dead. And what, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 United States military personnel dead, really, over some freaking lie. I mean, the New York Times aided, not the only one. The New York Times aided and abetted this. It really did. It aided and abetted this whole thing. So the New York Times, listen, and then I can go on and on. The reporting earlier this year by someone I was actually briefly in contact with, so I don't really want to mention the person's name, but you know, there was a reporter at the New York Times who had absolutely turned out some of the reporting was not very well backed up or not very well researched or not very well grounded. And they got this reporter into a lot of hot water. And as a result, I think the reporter had to resign. And so, you know, I was actually briefly in contact with the reporter because I wanted to actually invite the reporter on to talk about her work in this area. And it was at that time, literally about a month after that, then this whole story broke that a lot of the reporting that was done and a lot of the sources or whatever that had been acquired weren't backed up properly. And so that was a whole disaster as well. And it also brought a lot of grief on the reporter because previously she had done something, and I've mentioned, revealed the gender. But previously had done marvelous work, had been a top-notch reporter, and, you know, I still think that she is. This definitely does hurt her, though. And the bottom line here is, dear listener, is that the New York Times, and again, I can go on ad infinitum, and they're look, for every scandalous, terrible absolutely destructive thing that's happened in the New York Times. The whole thing around Jill Abramson, you can go there, you can talk about that, how she completely got, to me, sandbagged. And now Dean Baquet, who I think is an absolute disaster. An absolute disaster, Dean. I mean, I'm sorry, Dean Baquet, you know, I don't care that he's the first black anything. Listen, I'm someone, you know, I don't care who you are. I am, if something's right, I'll praise you. If something's wrong, I won't. And listen, as Joe Madison says, and he's on day 6 of his hunger strike now, or day 7. I've already lost count. I think it's day 7 now for Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, on his hunger strike to get voting rights in the United States, the country that we call the greatest on earth, that you or I call, well, I don't, but maybe you do. But maybe you don't either, but some people do call it the greatest country on the planet, which it cannot be if it doesn't have a healthcare system for all. It cannot be if people are still paying off student loans and freaking debts and all kinds of nonsense. It cannot be when you've got people who aren't fully vaccinated and they're in the vulnerable communities. Not that they're anti-vaxxers, that they are vulnerable and people aren't outreaching them deeply enough. So don't tell me about how this is the greatest country and the education system sucks. You got all this garbage with these Republicans. Oh, we don't want to teach this. Oh, we don't want to teach that. We want to teach you how great Rush Limbaugh is. Yeah, well, Rush Limbaugh is no longer here. So, you know, give me a break about Rush Limbaugh, the racist in chief and misogynist in chief. And all the rest of it. Listen, the bottom line is the New York Times has been an absolute disaster on a lot of things. But today, listen, I've written letters that have appeared in the New York Times, as have perhaps you have too, dear listener. So listen, I mean, I'm not going to disown my own letters that have appeared in the New York Times. I'm not going to disown them. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to say is that overall, you know, the New York Times has been an absolute disaster lately, 20 to 25 years lately. But I'm going to talk about Denmark. I promise I will, because I was taken now nearly 10 minutes, bad mouth, not even bad mouthing, but just whipping the New York Times, flaying the New York Times, flagellating the New York Times, just unabashedly. But I think they deserve it. I'm going to come back and talk about Denmark, I promise you. But before that, I'm also going to make a plea to you to you. Next. Welcome back. It's Bailey's Irish Cream, for God's sake. It's Bailey's Irish Cream. I can't believe I was tootling around trying to figure that out in my own mind. Bailey's Irish Cream, I just remembered it. I didn't search, I remembered it off the top of my head, as it is with most things. Bailey's Irish Cream is, oh God, you just have to go. And there is a website now, which I have now looked at, which is called Bailey's, BAILEYS.com. It's the holiday season. You will be asked to show your ID. Literally, I'm not joking. You go to the website, they have a page that says, "Can we see some ID, please?" And you have to put your ID in there, mate, for your birthday. Now, don't lie. Put your real birthday in. Tell them that you're only 18 years old, and then you'll be fine. Seriously, you've got to go to this site, though. Cool. You've got to look at this. Oh, God. It's over. When you go to that website, it's over. It's all over. Come on now. It's over. You know, you do not want to go to that website. You don't want to go there. Oh, God. But then, because now you have unleashed something that is very dangerous. Bailey's Original Irish Cream. That's the damn thing I was trying to think about. God, dear. Oh, I fancy that. Oh, yeah. Dear, and it literally says, "I fancy that" there too. Cool. Although the allergies, milk and milk products, lactose included. So milk and milk products, lactose, L-A-C-T-O-S-E, included. Alcohol content, 17%. One of life's most pleasurable indulgences. You damn right about that. It's one of them. There's no doubt about that. Bailey's Original Irish Cream. You have to have that. I am now going, at some point in the next few days, I'm going to get a bottle or two of that. Now, seriously, I do not make a habit. And I used to, again, at times have a bottle or two of something around here. But my goodness gracious me, I have not tried Bailey's Irish Cream now in years. I mean, it might be 10 years plus. It might be way more than that. I can't think of the last time I had it. It could be more than 15. Good grief, I didn't know what I'm missing here. Do you know what you're missing, lad? Bailey's Irish Cream. This is really good stuff. And anyway, and you can leave the cream in the bottom, or you can, you know, because you can shake it up a little bit so that you have the cream dilute into the alcohol. Oh, oh dear, Bailey's, thank God for it. Whew. Well, look, that comes off the back of telling you again, dear listener, to please get your fully vaccination. That didn't make sense. It kind of did, but it didn't go well. So I'll say it again. Please make sure that you are fully vaccinated. It is the winter. The winter's almost here. We're just about a month away from winter, 5 weeks away. So please, you know, winter's coming, as they say in that very heralded series on HBO that I'm not going to mention the name of. Three words, begins with the word game. oh, dear, let me stop. Please do get vaccinated. Let's get back to being serious here. Please get vaccinated. Please get fully vaccinated. And I hope that your family members are. You know, that's such a problem. So many people are, you know, part of families where at least one or two persons are not getting vaccinated. They refuse to. And now pretty much every family has at least one person in it like this. You know, not every family, because that's not true of every family. But, oh gosh, come on. This is heartbreaking. If you are invited to any Thanksgiving dinner or any holiday dinner, wherever you are in the world, Thanksgiving here in the UK, US, excuse me, and I'm not one who's a big, oh, I celebrate Thanksgiving, but I would take the opportunity to be thankful, there's no question, and then celebrate around that, but not around, you know, what the original holiday was. Oh, God, that's celebrating a lot of death. So we don't need to be doing that, but what we do need to be doing is getting ourselves vaccinated, especially now. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, because now there's a lot of approvals for vaccines for people, for children 5 to 12 years old, 5 to 11 or so here in the US. So please do get your kids fully vaccinated. It's very important. And for you adults who are listening, because I know it's probably all adults listening. I can't imagine it's not people who are under a certain age listening, but the point is I'm trying to get to is please get your booster shot. Please get your booster shot right now in the United States, at least. And I'm not sure, I did not read up on what it is for the UK or other countries, but right now for the United States, it is people who are 65 and above. It is people who suffer from some immuno disease. It is people who are frontline workers, grocery store workers, healthcare workers, people of that ilk. And it is people who suffer from underlying conditions medically, and people who are in very vulnerable communities who are, you know, susceptible to all of these things. And so those are the groups, as best as I can remember and as best as I can articulate, who need to be taking these booster shots. And so if you are in one of those groups that I've just mentioned, dear listener, and you are in the United States, you really do need to get this booster shot, and you need to schedule the appointment right now. They are free of charge, as they should be. I wish all of healthcare was for everybody so that people could not have any worry about getting treated. You know, how many people die because they don't have insurance in the United States every year? I am not going to depress you with that number. I am not. But you can find that if you want. You can go search the number. It's not a good number. And because one is one too many. So this number is that number too many as well. So that is the story. Please, please get vaccinated. You know, I've got to tell you this story. Speaking of a story, I was in a bus here in San Francisco the other day, and I bumped into someone in the neighborhood who happened to be on the bus. And she's an elderly woman, probably white woman, elderly. I'd say she's probably late 70s. And I've seen her, in the neighborhood here, and say hello, bump into her, say hello. And she suddenly said, I don't know what we were talking about. It must have been the weather, because that's what people in California do. At least some of us in California do that. It's not all, not everybody. But it is a kind of a California stereotype thing. And, I, bottom line is, we were talking about that. And she was with her, I guess a friend of hers. And all of a sudden, so I think her friend said, well, aren't you getting vaccinated? And she said that to the elderly woman that I am familiar with, because I see her in the neighborhood. San Francisco is a very small city, and these neighborhoods are rather small, and people bump into the same people all the time. It's not like New York City, where you might never see the same person again unless you're working with them, or unless you are with them, or whatever, your friends, or you're in a relationship, or married, or whatever. So the point is that her friend asks her, have you been vaccinated? Oh, no, I'm not getting it. And I'm sitting right next to the elderly woman who is saying, and everyone was wearing a mask, and she says, oh, no, I'm not getting it. And I'm thinking to myself, what? You didn't get it? So I said, I actually piped up here and said, you didn't get your vaccine? No. I said, well, I'd be very concerned about that. And in fact, I am very concerned that you didn't. It's what I said to her. And she said, well, in my land, they say this, or whatever she said. There's some saying, and I just left it alone. I said, I really worry about that. It's not good for you to do that. I really think, it's your choice, but you really should, if something happens to you, that's gonna be very difficult to sit. It's a difficult situation. That's the best I could do, because normally I'm the one that says to you, don't even entertain these folks. And since I broke my own rule. So yeah, that's just something, someone in there upper years. Now 70 is young. I think once you get to 80 and above, then you're getting up there a little bit more. But the point is that this is someone who is in all the risk categories, over 65, some more susceptible to these diseases and viruses. I mean, all I know, she's not getting vaccinated, not getting a booster. Not, and her friend's like, well, I got all three of those already. And I said to her friend, good for you. It's crazy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then I promptly got off the bus. About two stops later, I was, I'm not going anywhere near. I thought, it's like, okay, so at least now I know you're not vaccinated. Oh my goodness. Please, dear listener, this is all of this rambling from yours truly is to tell you and to advise you to please get yourself vaccinated. Please, please don't be that 70-something who doesn't. Don't be the 70-something, or the 50-something, or the 30-something, or the 80-something, or the teen, or the 20, or 30-something, whomever, who chooses not to get vaccinated. There's so many people who would like to be in a position in the world who can say, well, I would like to get. There's so many people who want to. But, I've talked about Zambia and the African continent. Barely 5% of the people are vaccinated there right now, even if that. And you've got people here, oh, no, I'm not getting it. 70-something years old, no, I'm not getting it. No, not getting vaccinated, no. Oh, no. Now, booster shot, what's that? No, I'm not doing that. Ooh, what's that booster shot? What's that, a piece of porridge? No, I'm not having it. It's just ridiculous. Again, this is what happens. So, look, do not be that person. Do not be that person. Please get your shots. Please get your vaccination shots. Please get your booster shot and get your flu shot too. Thank you. Okay, can we talk about Denmark now? I'm going to now. And after 20 minutes or so of just faffing about here, dear listener. Gosh, I've been a most, profligate host today. Just completely wasteful. Well, no, it's not wasteful. That's a little bit rough. But I'm going to talk about this this country named Denmark. You know, and, you know, for the last few years, Denmark is probably many more than that. And the way it's treated its citizenry, there's full health care there. There's paid family leave there. There are all kinds of things that the country of Denmark and its government does to make sure that all of the people who are citizens there, people who live there, are well protected, are well taken care of. It's a classic model of a society that really believes in the people and doesn't believe in trampling on them. Unlike here in the United States. You know, there's a national healthcare system in Denmark. There's all these things. It's very hard to become a citizen of Denmark, by the way. And you really can't just go in there to get drugs and leave. It's not like Canada where you can probably do that. In Denmark, it's probably a little bit more difficult. But I want to read this to you. And I want to talk about a bit about this with Denmark. Denmark is one of the world's leaders in the number of people who do not have this COVID-19 pandemic virus, this virus. Speaking of that, because I think it's a perfect lead-in to talk about this, you know, because Denmark is one of the world's leaders of having the fewest people unvaccinated in the whole planet, on the whole planet of Earth, of this planet, this year planet. Denmark is one of the places, I think the rate's over 80%. Of people fully vaccinated as a country. This is not as a city or as a state here in the US. In San Francisco, by the way, the rate of full vaccination is 76% at the minute. And in some California counties and cities neighboring, it's a bit higher than that even. So, but San Francisco, which just a few months ago actually had seen a major spike in its rates, is now back to earth again, back to where it had been throughout much of this pandemic. This doesn't stop me from wearing a mask, because one thing I forgot to say in the previous segment is you still got to wear your mask. Please, please do that. I mean, at least this person in her 70s, at least she was wearing a mask. But still, it's very concerning to be sitting anywhere near somebody who actually tells you that they're not vaccinated. Nasty, nasty, nasty. Now, Denmark's hard lessons about trust and the pandemic is the headline of this op-ed that was written today, or at least published today, by Rebecca Adler-Nissen, Sune Lehmann, and Andreas Ropstorff. And these are three researchers from Denmark for something called the HOPE Project, which is a study of how democracies cope with COVID-19. And I would put the word democracies in quotes. I mean, for some of these countries, they really are democracies. For others, they may not be. Certainly this one here, the United States, is not where it should be, put it that way, when it comes to democracy. And I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to just talk about some of the things that are going on in this from the three authors as they write here. Since mid-September, Denmark has tried living as if the pandemic was over. Schools and workplaces are open. Until Friday, you could go to a bar, a nightclub, a restaurant, a movie theater, the gym, and sporting arenas without showing any proof of vaccination. There was no social distancing or restrictions on large gatherings, even indoors. Face masks are rare in public spaces except airports. The Danish Health Authority's website plays a rap video thanking all the Danes who are fully vaccinated, which includes 86% of people over the age of 12. But just because the restrictions are mostly gone does not mean the disease is. Cases have increased rapidly since all restrictions were lifted in September, reaching about 2,600 new infections reported on average every day. There are now 315 people hospitalized. In response, the government has reintroduced the vaccine, an immunity passport for venues with crowds of more than 200 people, and for outdoor areas with over 2,000 people. Face masks may also return as winter approaches. More than 90% of Danes support the new measures, according to our survey. But the future is uncertain. Trust if maintained, could make a difference. Many countries will face problems similar to Denmark's this winter. The country's wins and missteps can serve as lessons in why transparency is critical for navigating through uncertainty. Our continuing research, which includes over 400,000 questionnaires on COVID-19 behaviors and attitudes in Denmark, six other European countries, and the United States, suggests that Denmark's performance up to this point is due to three important factors. First, Denmark has high social and institutional trust compared with other countries. 90% of Danish people say they have high or moderate trust in the country's health authorities, along with a high willingness to be vaccinated. Second, Denmark has a low degree of political polarization and misinformation. And third, the country embraces samfundsind, a Danish word that loosely translates to community spirit. While the country struggles to include every resident in this dictum, especially immigrant populations, Denmark is generally a trusting society with a strong communitarian ethic. High trust and a sense of community have made COVID policy easier. Temporary lockdowns happened without great backlash in Denmark. There were never any curfews, and limitations on gatherings in private homes were accomplished through widely accepted recommendations from health authorities rather than laws. When vaccines were approved, Danes quickly got vaccinated. Even Denmark's worst COVID-19 outcomes pale in comparison with other countries. In the United States, 2,303 people per million have died of COVID-19. In the United Kingdom, the number is 2,126 people per million. In Denmark, 471 people per million have died of the disease. The Danish government drew on this trust from the beginning of the pandemic through regular nationally broadcast press meetings featuring Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen and other key authorities. They shared coordinated messages based on factual information about the coronavirus while underscoring Danes' moral obligations to one another. "We must stand together by keeping our distance," Ms. Frederiksen said at a news conference announcing the country's March 2020 lockdown. In March 2021, the Danish Health Authority was among the first in the world to suspend and later drop the use of AstraZeneca vaccines over concerns about side effects. Health authorities explained that the pandemic in Denmark was under control and that different vaccines were on the way. There's no evidence to suggest that vaccination rates were affected by this decision. This willingness to be transparent and publicly revise policies in light of new findings is critical to maintaining public trust. But the trust that's critical for making Denmark's response to the pandemic a success can, in some cases, empower authorities to go too far without institutional or public resistance. Our research shows the most significant drop in Danes' trust in government happened shortly after an event that's locally called Minkgate. In early November 2020, Ms. Frederiksen announced that all minks, M-I-N-K-S, in Denmark must be culled to quell the spread of a coronavirus mutation among the animals. This would include up to an estimated 17 million minks spread across 1,000 farms. Within 2 weeks, about 11 million minks were slaughtered and an industry was effectively gutted. But it turned out the government didn't have the legal authority to make such an order. That realization was a scandal. The agriculture minister resigned, and the government's order is likely to cost around $3 billion in expenses and compensation to farmers and the mink industry. There's a continuing public investigation that will culminate with the questioning of the Prime Minister in December. Although Danes' trust in government has arisen again since Minkgate, it hasn't fully recovered. Minkgate showed that just because governments are sometimes given wide latitude by their electorate to act aggressively, it does not mean they should take that permission for granted. As cases rise and restrictions are reintroduced, Denmark must once again lean on people's sense of trust and community to see the pandemic through. There is a risk that the unity Danes feel toward one another could be challenged if the pandemic heats back up thanks to unvaccinated people getting sick and spreading the virus. Already, the country deals with public shaming of areas with low vaccination rates, many of which have sizable immigrant populations. Trust remains critical to ending pandemics. Achieving it requires transparency, openness, and willingness to embrace uncertainty. This may be the most critical challenge for COVID, post-COVID-19 societies, including in Denmark. Let's hope we can trust one another enough to approach this challenge openly and honestly. Now, that is the article in full. It's the op-ed. Very good one, by the way. Today, the guest essay in the New York Times. You can find that in nytimes.com. Denmark's hard lessons about trust and the pandemic. Now, look, the thing with that essay that was written by the three authors, Rebecca Adler-Nissen, Sune Lehmann, and Andreas Robstorff, the thing about that, and they are part of the Hope Study, and I should give you their bios here as well so you know who they are at least. A professor, this is Rebecca Adler-Nissen. She is a professor of political science and deputy director of the Center for Social Data Science at the University of Copenhagen. Sune Lehmann is a professor of complexity and network science at the Technical University of Denmark and a professor of data science at the Center for Social Data Science at the University of Copenhagen. Andreas Robstorff is a professor of cognition, communication, and culture and director of the Interacting Minds Center at Aarhus University. Now, there you go. Those are their bios. And I have to say that that editorial, I think, is really good. Again, it reinforces what I've been saying and what you know, dear listener, about Denmark. It is one of the more progressive nations on the planet. And it does seek to assist and make life healthier for people living in Denmark. The standard of living is higher there. The cost of living is a little higher there, I would say. I've never been there, but judging from things I've read and learned about Denmark, their system is better there. The healthcare system is much better than this one is here in the United States. Oh, God. You're not paying through the nose in Denmark. It's a national healthcare system there. Socialized medicine. I mean, you might pay for some drugs, perhaps, or maybe it's very, very small amounts of money, though. Very small amounts. And then they're covered. They're covered. And then, you know, there's no need to tie healthcare to your freaking job. How bad is that? And then you wonder why black and brown folk get worse health outcomes in the United States. And tying healthcare to jobs. Oh, what could possibly go wrong there? And who gets fired first? Have you ever heard of the term last hired, first fired? Well, hello. If you look that term up in a dictionary, you will see the picture of a black person. So come on now. And then you're tying what? Your healthcare to a job? And who's getting fired first again? Ah, I see. System, system, system. See, Denmark doesn't do that to its people, to its persons, to its peoples. Denmark does not do that to its peoples. It doesn't do it. It doesn't do that to its people, to its population, because Denmark has a freaking heart. And as you heard in that op-ed that I just read out, there is a communitarian spirit in Denmark. Now, I'm not saying everything is perfect in Denmark. I'm not saying you don't have the same social ills and all of these systemic things that are issues in this country or in the UK or in some other country, say France or wherever, and that Denmark doesn't have any trace of that, because that's not true. That'd be a lie. There's still domestic violence in Denmark. There's still racism in Denmark. There's still misogyny and, you know, all kinds of, you know, anti-gay attacks. Come on now. Of course there are. But I think Denmark has a lot less of that than certainly the US and the UK do. And the people get it there because, as you heard, there is much more of a spirit of community. There is not this politicization going on in Denmark as it does here in the US or in the UK, for example. You know, another thing I didn't hear in there, one thing I didn't hear in there was social media. There isn't all this social media filth. I mean, social media is clearly present in Denmark as it is in any country. But I'll tell you, I bet you that even if there's all kinds of filth that's predominating the social media in Denmark, and of course it's global social media, because people have not been inundated with lies and misinformation and garbage that gets put on the air and gets republished by media outlets and sources and all kinds of stuff, the people don't have to worry. People aren't relying on that because their whole sense of community is much stronger than some misinformation and much stronger than some freaking fool that's trying to divide them up and tell them that you're not supposed to get vaccinated. And anti-vaxxers aren't welcome in Denmark, obviously. And they get shamed. People who don't take these vaccinations, or if they're anti-vaxxers, or even if they're not, but they don't get these, they get shamed. And that's what should be happening. Instead of having, and I said this before here, that I didn't like this, when President Biden was saying, this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And it's like, that's so oversimplifying it, even though the numbers bear that out to be true. Because when you say it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, you're lumping everybody in there. And there are people who are seriously, and they've got trepidations about this, and they need to learn more. And it's incumbent, therefore, upon the government and the CDC that's part of that to go ahead and educate people. I said this forever and a day ago. What happened and what was wrong with putting a pamphlet into everybody's mailbox across the United States? What was wrong with putting a simple 2 or 3 or 4 page, really easy to read pamphlet into people's mailboxes within a month or two of this pandemic? What was wrong? I know you're still trying to learn about them. Why not? Why was there this completely absent measure that would have at least given people something to read and look at? Here, this is from the government. This is what's going on. Here's what we're learning. Here's what you should be doing. Where was that? Instead, there were these stupid press conferences with that idiot, that piece of garbage. And then you had the guy who should have been running the press conferences standing there at the side and putting his head in his hands because the guy at the podium, the piece of garbage, was telling you to drink freaking bleach. Sorry for shouting, dear listener. Denmark doesn't have that kind of tomfoolery and ass clownery. It doesn't have that type of ass clownery because people in Denmark, by and large, get it. People get it. You heard 86% of people over, I said it was going to be, it was about just over 80%. 86% of people over the age of 12 have been fully vaccinated. There's no number like that anywhere in this country. And there's no number like that anywhere in the United Kingdom either. Denmark, their population in Denmark, I don't remember. I think it's around 6 million. I'll have to go look it up because I think my guess is it's 6 or 7 million people. Let's see. Yeah, I was right. Boy, that was right. Whoa, 5.8 million. I was right on the money. I said 6 or 7 million. So there you go. I was very close. As of 2020, I just literally looked that up just before, I said I think it's around 6 or 7 million as a guess. And I guessed right, more or less. 5.8 million, 5,822,000 and change. It's roughly 6 million. So I'll give myself a gold. I'll give myself a gold medal for that. and I'll drink some Bailey's Irish Cream with that too. For being in the ballpark. For being about 200,000 off. 180,000 people off, you know, come on. What's 180,000 people? Well, you know. That sounds like a really perverse comment that belonged to someone's cruel, I don't know, step. Jeez, I just go off into these tangents. See, that's what I like about this. Because even though it's maddening and infuriating to you, dear listener, I just like the randomness of it all. Flying by the seat of your pants. But look, this is the thing about Denmark. Denmark has a population of people who culturally are attuned to taking care of each other, who, look, and I'm not saying, again, it's not a perfect country. None of the countries in this world are, because we're not perfect human beings. There's nothing like that ever going to ever happen. I'm just simply saying that there is a community ethos in Denmark that's much stronger than any of this garbage. And because the cultural landscape here in the United States has never been about taking care of each other, it's been always, you get yours, I'll get mine, or I'll get mine, you go get yours. Because that's been the cultural ethos of the United States, and the individual over the community, that's the ethos of the United States. And because that's happened, yeah, you're going to have all these people, like the 70-something-year-old person in the neighborhood here in San Francisco who, no, doesn't care about getting vaccinated, doesn't care about their fellow human being, doesn't care about themselves. Oh, no, I don't care. I'm barely wearing this mask. Ooh, you know, I'm barely keeping that down. I'm keeping it down real. I'm keeping it real. I'm wearing a mask and I'm barely covering my face with it. I mean, come on, there you go. And it's because of the society and what the system and the culture of the society has always been, which is individualistic. Not always, it hasn't always been like that. But as it was incarnated as the United States with all the bloodshed and violence, but the Native American culture, because this is their country, you do remember that, dear listener, of course you do. Their whole cultural ethos is about taking care of the earth, taking care of each other, teaching that the person is subservient to the earth. Not in any negative way, but when I say subservient, probably the wrong word. But what I'm saying is those cultures in Native American cultures, different cultures in under that umbrella of persons, they teach that human beings must value the earth and be at one with it. Instead of trying to rule it and dominate it and control it and carve it up, the earth is sacred in various Native American cultures. And the relationship that human beings have with the earth is very sacred too. And I know that I say all this because one of the things I learned, I went on to, and I hate calling them this, reservations, years ago, and spent 3 or 4 hours with, and I really wish I remember the name of the group of Native Americans. See, that's really bad. You can't even remember the group. See, again, the memory goes, this is actually a long time ago, though, so I'll give you that excuse. It was more than 30 years ago now. Yeah, thereabouts. And I spent 3 hours with, and I was made an honorary member of this group. And again, it just kills me. I don't remember the actual name of the group of Native Americans. And I noticed this right away. And I'd known this before, but I noticed it right away. Their relationship to the earth and to the planet is so much more valued and sacred and so much more respected. They respect the earth. And we desecrate it. You know, there you go. I mean, there we are, you know. And then you wonder why you got the 80-degree temperatures in San Francisco in mid-November. I mean, we do normally get warm temperatures in October and November. September, October, November. But usually, actually, in November, we get the rain season beginning. And that lasts until mid to early to mid-February. But anyway, that's me rambling about San Francisco. Which, by the way, there was a great movie last night here in the United States, shown on the Turner Classic Movies Network, called The Lineup. It shows San Francisco in all its glory in 1958. You have to watch that movie if you ever get a chance. The Lineup, hard-boiled drama, noir, furious noir thriller, just furious, totally, but really great performances. Eli Wallach, perfect, only his second movie, and starring San Francisco. I recognize my own neighborhood. I recognize my own neighborhood. It was just so great to see the neighborhood. It's just brilliant. Anyway, there's a whole nother story for a whole nother episode, for a whole nother day, or maybe not. So let's just go back to this. Denmark has this relationship, the same kind of relationship with some of the Native American groups, and pretty much all of them, value community, value the group, value the elders, respect the elders, which we don't do in the United States. We don't respect people who are older. You know, I just had a go at, as you know, I just publicly here on these podcast waves, had a go at the, not to her face, but to you, had a go at the 70-something-year-old in the neighborhood who just, you know, oh no, I'm getting vaccinated. But that's not about respect. That's about, you should know better. That's what that's about. But the elders are respected in Native American culture, and in cultures in Asia and cultures in the African continent, respect their elders. Here we don't. In the UK, we don't respect our elders. No, no, no. You know, it's just horrible. And in other countries in Europe, they don't respect their elders. I know, they don't care. In Italy, maybe. But not in a lot of European countries. Oh, Jesus, horrible. European countries, excuse me, and the United States, oh, boy. Put them out to pasture. You know, it's just horrible, horrible. Native American culture doesn't do it, and Denmark doesn't do that, as best I know. And also, they care about people, which is why you have these low unvaccinated rates. And again, there is a unified sense in the country that there is a mission to defeat a virus or to send it underground. So no one's going to allow any bullcrap like some lies and some big ass lies, some ass clown lies, to split them up and divide them. Whereas here, because the culture, after it was destroyed, after Native Americans were destroyed and genocided, the culture of the white male, rich white male criminals that came in and destroyed this country and genocided Native Americans, the culture was one, you know, individualism rules, libertarianism rules, I can do what the hell I want. And that's what you hear these jackasses who are anti-vaxxers going on about, well, this and this and this, and then they start to invoke the Holocaust against Jewish people and start to use that as their justification now. Well, this is what happened to them. Don't cheapen a freaking atrocity. It's a goddamn atrocity. Don't freaking cheapen that. Use it for your selfish ass agenda. And you guys hate Jewish people. It's like, give me a breath. I mean, I'm fed up with that. You know, I tweeted about this the other day. It's absolutely ridiculous. And these people are the kinds of people you see wearing these god-awful, disgusting shirts. Camp Auschwitz. And then they walk around. There's a few of them around here the other day. On the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, just disgusting. Honestly, I go off half-cocked here with this. But this is disgusting. And you wouldn't see this in places like Denmark. Because they laugh these people out of the freaking country. But, you know, we've got freedom of this here and freedom of that there, except for when it's black folk, then we can't freaking protest. Except for when you're in the UK and some freaking bill, the police bill, so you can't protest because if someone objects, you have to call your protest off. So give me a break. You know, oh, yeah, we go. But stop using the atrocities of people to make a point about your selfish ass pro-death agenda. That ain't really how you do things in this world. You don't go make a point out an atrocity and completely trample the atrocity by freaking making some jackass selfish point about your little anti-vax bullcrap. And you don't even care about it. The thing is, you don't even care about Jewish people. These are the same kinds of people, dear listener, who will actually, in the freaking drop of a hat, put on a Camp Auschwitz t-shirt. It's so disgusting. If you see that, you need to speak up about it. This is disgraceful. You know? Give me a break. See, Denmark doesn't play like that when it comes to this virus, this COVID-19. And it's so interesting that the authors talk about immigrants. Now, they don't say who the immigrants are, but they say the reason why that there are a rise in these cases is immigrants. Now, is that a racist genuflection, or is it a case of immigrants? They could be white immigrants. Because don't forget, immigrants are people of all groups, right? Because over in this country, everyone thinks of black and brown people, particularly brown people in the United States. They think about that when it's immigrants. They don't even think of it as a white person. They don't think it's an Asian. But there are people from all over the world who come to the United States or come to the United Kingdom. It's like, why are people focusing on one group? Well, you know why. But I think it's mildly amusing reading this thoroughly good op-ed, as I've just read it out to you, dear listener. Mildly amusing because it seems like there's a mini crisis in Denmark around the fact that the rates are going up slightly. And then you compare it to the United States, or to the UK in particular, which I think has become even worse than the US has. because Boris Johnson just does not give a jack about Jack, including the Union Jack, when it is on a boat, because that's when it becomes the Union Jack. Other than that, it's a Union flag that flies off of the top of 10, off of the top of 10 Downing Street there in Westminster, just outside the West, well, just off of Westminster in that area. It's just absolutely disgusting, you know? It's just disgusting, you know? And people are just dropping like flies in the in England, in the UK. Still, now. It's just, again, it's getting worse. And this guy just has no idea. I read you from the op-ed there. The number is 2,126 people dying per million in the United Kingdom. That's a lot, man. And here in the US is worse, barely, but it's still worse. 2,303 people per every million have died of COVID. It's over 140,000 people dead in the United Kingdom and over what? What is it here now? It's up to nearly 760 million? Excuse me. Better not be. Boy, we really are in trouble if that were the case around the world. There's not even that many people in the United States. 760,000 people? Jeez. There needs to be on television every night for half an hour. I've said this long time ago on this podcast. There needs to be a half hour segment or a 15 minute segment devoted to those who have passed away. Every new case of every new death from this pandemic, particularly, because people die from all kinds of things. But this pandemic in particular, there needs to be a top of the news broadcast the first 10 or 15 minutes. Today, here are the people who died. And then you put their faces and their names up there. People have forgotten. People act as if this thing's over. I mean, you've got politicians talking about it in the past tense. Past tense. It's here. And we are not the world, because we suffer from that here in the US. And in the UK to an extent too, suffer from it. We think we are the freaking world, but we're not. There are over 200 goddess plus other countries, and there are so many of those countries that have never had a full vaccination of even 20% of this population, 10%. So we really have to start realizing that this is not over. And the longer we don't wear masks or don't get vaccinated, it's going to be here forever. And this virus is going to be forever anyway until there's a cure for it. And I mean, I just look at the crisis. 471 people per million have died of the disease in Denmark. That's a really staggeringly good number. Now, look, 471 deaths is 471 too many. I'm just saying the rate is just remarkably low. And so much the government is doing what it's doing is that these three authors were complaining that, hey, that doesn't mean you can just keep going running roughshod here and abuse our trust and abuse the public trust. You need to still be circumspect. And this is where the United States is different, because we have this don't tread on me mentality, the Gadsden flag, the, you know, libertarianism, which is very violent now and has been for a long time. It was birthed in violence. And it's like, we don't want the government. We'd be the first ones jumping up and down, some of us here in the US, about don't tread on me, you're taking away my freedom, all this garbage. And then when voting rights is being taken away, the very same people who are shouting about freedom, they are awfully quiet. You don't hear a word from them. Oh no, Church Mouse Central. Not a single beep or a squeak or anything. Not a damn thing. And these people are so loud about, oh, our freedom's been taken away. And it's a political movement is the answer to why you don't hear anything about voting rights being taken away. Because it's a political movement. They don't care about any of this stuff. They want to further divide the country. A la Vladimir Putin, Daddy Putin, is sitting there. And he's absolutely loving it at the Kremlin. Loving it. He just loves it. Because ever since that debacle of a press conference, and people have already forgotten that, in 2018 in Helsinki, Finland, ever since then, this country has gone way down, way low, brother, way low. And it's been going way low for 400 plus years. But just don't tell the average person that, you know, because they pretend as if, oh no. And they act like the sky is falling now. What about when it was the 1800s or 1700s or 1600s? Was the sky falling then? Oh, but you weren't around. Oh, so I don't care about what happened before me. And that's the attitude, you know. They don't care about their past. Oh, again, it's the Fleetwood Mac-ism. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. I mean, that's how it is. And yesterday's gone, but it should not be forgotten. And so, you know, again, this is why, again, I kind of mildly, I'm almost chuckled when I was reading this, chuckled to myself. There's a little crisis in Denmark because now the government's, you know, getting rid of the Mings. And granted, look, the killing 11 million of anything. Look, I've just alluded to this. It's just absolutely just, it's just horrifying. That's just the least of it. And, you know, the fact that the crisis is that the government ordered the slaughter of these minks and didn't have the legal authority to make the order. And so the agriculture minister resigned. How about that? And here, if that happened, they're just digging their heels. You know, they're just digging their heels. I'll ride it out. I'll wait. I'll ride it out like a surf. I'm on the surf. I'm on the waves. California surfing. And they're just on the wave. That's how they do it here. Yeah, they don't do that in Denmark. They have some accountability. They step down, even over something like this, which is something that is a problem, for sure. You know, there'll be a questioning of the Prime Minister. I forget her first name now. Frederiksen, Miss Frederiksen. I've got to get her first name from this article. She's going to be brought to account. The Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, she's going to be brought to account. She's going to be answering questions about this next month. I'm going to follow up on that, dear listener, and get the news about how it all went for Prime Minister Frederiksen, because it's a scandal. There you go. That's a scandal there. But it was for public health that she was going in on, and it turned out they didn't have the legal authority to make an order that was rooted in protecting the people. How about that? It wasn't rooted in getting a piece of garbage control of something, or the piece of garbage, some votes, calling up the Georgia Secretary of State and threatening him and saying, you got to find me 11 million plus, 11,000 extra votes. Remember that? That happened right at the beginning of the year. January 2nd. Oh, you know, 4 days before the terrorist attack. Oh, you have to get me 11,000 more votes from somewhere. Make them up as you go along. Etch a sketch the friggin' votes. I mean, come on. That's what happened. But again, we got short memory. Short-ass memory. Don't remember a damn thing. It's like what David Bowie said, you know, in Young American. Do you remember your President Nixon? Do you remember the bills you have to pay, or even yesterday? And that's so true. Well, we remember the bills. Mr. Bowie, we have not forgotten those. But we don't remember. We've got such a short memory on everything else. And so there you go. I mean, I love to say that. There you go. I said my new favorite words. You know, there you go. But it's true. Oh, my gosh. But it is interesting, though. This is what, and it kind of, I don't want to say I feel sad about it, but it makes me feel melancholy. It does, to read this, because it's so good. But yeah, that is a scandal. It shouldn't be trivialized or glossed over. But I'm thinking, freaking heck. You know, you're in Denmark and the scandal is there's a government order on health restrictions, and it turned out, and granted, it's horrible to have these minks be slaughtered. That's horrible. Listen, I'm never going to pretend that that's not. It's absolutely disgusting. And it was being done in the name of trying to protect the public health because of the mutations that we're being concerned about regarding the mink. And so now the Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, is going to be brought up before a committee to be answering questions. That's their freaking scandal in Denmark. You know what ours is? You know what ours is? Not allowing ventilators to go to certain governors. That's ours. You know, telling them, oh, you know, you don't need that many ventilators. Oh, no, we're going to send you some crap-ass ventilators that don't work. And people are dying all over the place. You know what the scandal is over here? Flying to South Korea to get masks because Maryland, the state of Maryland, was running out, and the piece of garbage who was in the White House at the time, he's only one piece of garbage, is that you know who I'm referring to. The piece of garbage would not do anything with Republican Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland. So Larry Hogan had to call on his spouse to fly out to South Korea. I think he may have gone with her because she's from South Korea. And so he called upon her. Oh, honey, can you help me? This is not good, but you know what I mean. Honey, can you help me? Your governor needs you. I really should not be making it, because that's not funny. That is not funny. The bottom line here is Mrs. Hogan flew out to say, I mean, this really, I'm not making, again, please, I'm going to stop saying that I'm not making that, because I don't make up anything that I'm saying to you. All this is factual. Go look it up, please. She flew out to South Korea and they had a plane load of masks, because people forget that in March of last year, March 7th to be precise, the Secretary of State, that little, I'm not going to say, actually sent out 18 tons or 17 tons of freaking PPE to China. I mean, in the dead of night. And there's the press release is still up on the internet. You can still find that. It's just like, what? But seriously, there you go. I mean, there you go. It's just absolutely madness. But that's what, yeah, that's the album. Absolute Madness. That is actually an album from a pop band, rock band called Madness from England. For those of you who understand that, then great. For those of you who don't, it's all right. It's not a big deal, except for Madness fans like me. But really, this is what's going on. People have already forgotten those things. That's the scandal over here. In Denmark, it's, well, the government went too far in the interest of the people because they didn't have the legal authority. And granted, it was horrible that those minxy minxes got slaughtered over there. But you're going to have to answer this. And we need trust again. See, what if the United States had an inkling of that? Trust remains critical to ending pandemics. You're damn right. And over here, we're so freaking divided. Oh, I don't want a vaccine. When grown freaking adults are doing that, your country's finished. Your country's blooming finished, mate. You can't have people going, I don't want to get this. Because we've got too much so-called freedom here. Right? I think sometimes we do. And then you've got this inflated view of what freedom is. It's just so freaking clownish. I just don't know what else to tell you, except to say that thank you to the three authors who wrote that op-ed. You know, 90% of Danes have trust in the country's health authorities. What if we had had that here in the United States or in the United Kingdom, for example, and you just had all the health people? Well, they did do this in the United Kingdom with Boris Johnson standing there like a stuffed donut. But here in the US, you had someone tell you to drink friggin' bleach. The piece of garbage was telling you drink bleach. Inject bleach into your ass. Come on now. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And you have people drinking fish tank cleaner. That's what's going on in the United States. It's frightening. Think about that. These are grown friggin' adults. These aren't toddlers where you have to take something out of their mouth every 2 seconds because, Lord, if you turn around fast enough, you might just catch them sticking a freaking marble in their mouth. This ain't toddlers we're talking. That's about grown-ass adults in their 50s and 60s and 70s, like the woman who won't get vaccinated around here. Come on. So there you go. I mean, I know I've said the word 20 times now. There you go. Come on. But this is just really a problem. Samfundssind. That's a Danish word. Again, I'm going back to the op-ed that loosely translates to community spirit. Where's the community spirit in the United States? This is why, dear listener, I keep saying to you, and I know you're fed up to you-know-what about with it. I know you are. This is not a country. It's 331 million shards of glass. Off doing their own thing. And that's why we have all these problems. Not the only reason. That's part of why. And the reason why we are 331 million shards of glass is because the country is. And because there's no real country here. It's a series of states, 50 of them. 48 contiguous, you know. And everyone's off in their own direction. How the hell are you going to have any consensus here? And you got people in states, governors, no mask mandate here. That's the scandal. No mask mandates. We're going to stop people from even passing laws that say you've got to wear a mask. That's how stupid it gets here, folks. That's how stupid it gets, folks, in Florida. Florida. oh, you're governor. Oh, they're going to have mask mandates here. And he's clearly going to run for president. Don't let him get anywhere near the stage, please. Give me a break. Oh, you can't. We're going to pass a law saying you can't even pass a law. That's what they did in Florida. We're going to pass a law preventing mask mandates from anybody. You can't do that in this state. Jesus Christ. I mean, again, then you wonder why all of this stuff is a nightmare here. Nightmare. You got a governor in Iowa. These are all Republicans. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. We're not going to lock down anything. We're not going to have any mask mandates. People are dropping like flies in Iowa. Dropping like flies in these states. Oh, no. I'm not doing that. Let them die. Ugh. It's just so stupid. Again, it just kills me that neighbor. It just totally kills me. That person from the neighborhood totally kills me. Oh, my God. No, I'm not doing it. No, I've never. So since March of freaking last year, your ass has been walking around unvaccinated. See, in Denmark, they just laugh you out the building. They'll laugh you out the country. You would literally have to get on a plane and fly to another country. I mean, I'm just making that part up. But that I am making up. But come on now. Seriously? And you wonder why we are where we are. And England as well. You wonder why the UK is where it is. And there's no one in government that cares. Not a soul of these stinking Tories. None of them care a rat's ass in the government. There are Tories who do actually care. But I'm talking about the people who are governing. They absolutely stink. And the stench can be smelled all the way from here. It really can, all the way out here. Because I look at this and I think my native country is absolutely, absolutely on a trajectory that is going to be destruction in a few short years. Because this is just not going anywhere good. And it's just going to cemeteries, isn't it? And people are just heading to the cemetery, heading to the cemetery, heading to the cemetery. It's horrible. And I just read what the folks in Denmark are doing, and it does make you actually weep. It actually does. Because they care. You don't weep with shame. You weep with pride and joy. And you do weep, on the other hand, because the United Kingdom and the United States, two of the richest entities on the planet, are absolutely abject at helping people, helping them to live, helping them to sustain, helping them to grow. And meanwhile, Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen is going to be brought up before a committee to answer questions about why did the government in Denmark actually take on this order they had no legal authority for to protect the people? That's the worst of it in Denmark right now. When you have trust in your institutions, you have trust in healthcare professionals and scientists, you're going to go a lot further than in a place and in a country where you don't have that kind of trust. We don't have 90% of people in this country to trust anything or to agree on anything. And 90% plus of people in Denmark trust the medical doctors, the scientists, and all of that. We don't have 90% of that here in the US. We don't have 90% of that. Come on now. High to moderate trust in the country's health authorities. What kind of trust do we have in the CDC? By the way, the CDC has not distinguished itself too well with some of the things, but generally speaking, they have been good. But the messaging has been awful there. So our trust, hey, we don't trust Congress because Congress sucks right now. Have done for a while with some of these things. Especially with this voting rights they suck on. They've been very good in other areas, but then there's a 9 or 7% approval rating. 7% or 9%? That's almost as many people, the 91% who disapprove, as the 90% of Danes who have high or moderate trust in their health authorities. We demean and criticize Fauci and all these others, and we should be trusting them. They've been doing this work for 50 years. No reason not to trust them. Unless, of course, you're the United States of America. Thank you, Denmark. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.